biggest assholes that were driving around were directly in front of me.
Hey, now you can exact your sweet vengeance. Swift vengeance, sexy vengeance.
But I had something I was going to talk about. Oh, we were just talking about it today.
Welcome to Sit Suck, everyone.
Welcome to Sit Suck, everybody.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kendrick. Amy's in the back.
Hello.
And an Amy in the back.
Okay. So
these, are they really Africanized or just black?
Wow. They're black and yellow. You racist fuck. What were we just talking about a minute ago? We were comparing like emotional states.
Yeah, we like
that was
related.
Great pod fodder.
We were related. Okay, so the Fantasy Flight Games posted an article that was talking about their new Arkham Horror expansion. They spoiled two characters, and I got super duper excited. And for the rest of the day, anytime I saw someone talk about or reference the article I posted in our like Arkham Horror chat, I just got excited again, right? Mm-hmm. And so I asked Kendrick, like, how it is that I can constantly be getting happy about stuff all the time, and, like, it's just not a thing that everybody does. It's just I felt like it was, like, me
how
just
you,
doing
you
that.
Felt like a freak because you were happy instead of upset all the time?
No. I felt like, well, it wasn't because people were upset. It was because my emotional state just flips a lot. And, like, so I can be, like, really frustrated 1 minute, but, like, in 2 minutes later, like, something else can cheer me up. And so... I mean, I guess that's just called bipolar, but we're talking about it in a different way.
Well, and we were talking about it like I had all my philosophical bullshit, and then you described it with physics, which is way better.
And so, Kendrick said that he was talking about how some people are conditioned or conditioned to not let's see.
They
he said happiness / emotion is an activity. So feeling an emotion is an activity. So when you choose to, much like economics, buy or not buy something, or participate or not participate in an emotion, whether or not that be subconscious or conscious, you are active. You're actively engaged in feeling. And so he also just said that as you feel, you get more and more conditioned to that feeling, potentially, and that can lead to desensitization of that feeling. So if you feel happiness and then you constantly are feeling happiness all the time, you forget what feeling happy is like.
It's not necessarily happiness. It's stimulation that would make you feel happy.
Okay,
like
sorry,
if you get a good paycheck or you have nice clothes or you have friendly people around you all the time, eventually stimuli is the word I kept trying to say when I said stimulant.
Arousal, you could say
sure,
arousal.
When you get aroused. arousal.
Casual.
When you get enough of that, much like, you know, how you don't think about feeling your wristwatch or the elastic in your socks or your whatever, you start to not feel it anymore because it's not, your brain's trying to save you from the screaming hellhole that would be all of your experiences happening at the same time. And so it just kind of turns down the volume on things that you've been hearing for a while.
Would you say it turns down for what? Okay.
So anyway,
so he had mentioned that, and so that helped me understand that some people, like me, may not get desensitized as easily because they're in a constant state of childlike wonderment is what I think we started saying.
Yeah, childlike wonderment seemed like the least offensive way to say it.
So, like, imagine, if you will, as a kind of anecdotal example of this.
Considerable.
Anytime you have a stimuli, you would feel the same thing you felt the first time you felt it every time.
Like cocaine.
Kind of. I mean, so you have the potential to get, like, happy at any small thing or sad at any small thing. And it can describe a person's emotional state. So it's where you keep novelty. Is that a word?
Novelty? Novelty, I guess.
Is that right?
Novelty?
That doesn't seem right. But
novelty is always like a noun.
Novelty,
but I guess it'd be novelty.
Is new with each experience. Now, some people don't necessarily feel that the same stimuli is always novel, and that's why you run into this concept that we deemed emotional inertia. So, as you feel things, you can get more and more desensitized to the stimuli, and it causes you to have to be stimulated. Stimulificated.
Gestimulated.
More to feel the feeling that you're actively participating in. So, for example, let's say you eat pizza and you love it. The first time you eat pizza is just fantastic, right? And I tend to do this with food sometimes.
Yes.
And then you subsequently have pizza for the next 2 years of your life. So on that 1 day, 2 years in 1 day, or 2 years in second day, so the 2 years after you started eating pizza, mm-hmm. The feeling that you get from eating pizza is directly affected by how novel that experience still is, which is directly affected to the inertia of you feeling that emotion. So what you have to overcome to be happy, or I'm sorry, to feel the emotion that you feel when you initially had that stimuli. Is that good?
I think you're mixing a little bit there, because it's the desensitization to the stimuli. So it's not so that it's overcoming the inertia at this point. It's that the effect on the inertia seems to be less.
No. The inertia is how much stimuli is necessary to make you feel the emotion.
But the whole point of that is that it's not fixed, right?
That's what I mean. And inertia is not always fixed either, depending on where you're at.
And so what we're saying is that the reason, when you mentioned it before, the whole point was some people are hanging out in a mindset, and it takes more to get them happy
mm-hmm.
than it would someone who has, like, no emotional inertia, where they just flying all over the place from every single thing.
That novelty is still there for every experience, almost.
Yeah. So it's not necessarily novelty, but also the empathy and everything.
Sure,
you know?
Okay.
Like,
yeah, there's more things.
You saw a sad dog, and your day's over. But then 10 minutes later, you saw another dog, and you were happy. Like,
mm-hmm. And there's, like, there's all these other things, like, if you're mentally or psychologically aware that you're able to do that or you feel that way, and that can mean that you might think your day is over if you do see a sad dog, but you have the capacity to realize that you're probably not be that way in 5 minutes, or if you just are in, like, free riding the emotions like a bull at a rodeo, right? You don't really have any control. You don't have any kind of forethought or afterthought.
But you're just okay with it.
Yeah, but you're okay with it. And then we started talking about other weird shit, like how we started talking about equilibrium. So not everybody starts at neutral. Not everybody starts at this is where we got into, you know, is emotion a dichotomy?
I think it was less that not everyone starts at neutral, but more that neutral looks different to different people.
Okay.
And that you will ground out and you will drift towards some kind of equilibrium, and wherever that is,
mm-hmm.
it varies on how people express it. But we are also talking about how depression is not just the opposite of happy.
Wait, yeah. And this is where I kind of wanted to talk about, because we were trying to do as much, I was trying to do as much physics stuff as we could, and it was kind of fun. So what we talked about is that idea of everybody starting at equalizing on a certain spot means that in combination with the fact that everybody has different, like, coefficients of feeling for different emotions, right? So, because it's not as simple as saying every emotion is felt equally by every person who has that sense, that has a low emotion and inertia, right?
Yes.
Sometimes, like, for me, example, like, I have my coefficient of sadness is probably a lot different than my coefficient for happiness, because I tend to get happier happies than I do sadder sads, if that makes any sense to anybody out there. Okay, so, like, that means that my numbers are different, and that changes for everybody, and they all interact with each other, and there's this complex, assumingly, quantum calculus that goes into, you know, how you would,
I don't know if it's,
how those things
it
happen.
It's not necessarily quantum calculus as much as those things are actually less related than you might think, because I don't know if you've ever been angry happy at the same time,
mm-hmm.
or, like, and you get that kind of ambivalence where you've got multiple feelings, and you're not quite sure what's going on because you can't sort all those feelings out. So realistically, it's not like happiness is the opposite of sadness.
No, that's not what I meant
to
imply.
And I'm not saying you're doing that, okay. But I'm saying it's not necessarily calculus. It's just you're going to get a whole bunch of numbers at the end, and you're going to end up with however many discrete feelings you want to articulate. And then you'll have this list of little bar graph of here's my emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
The status is kind of low right now because I'm getting out of work. Anger is slowly going up because I'm driving. I'm pretty cheerful because I like recording this podcast.
But,
so,
like,
that's
anger
positive.
Is going up slower than cheerful because they go up at different rates when he's recording a podcast. And so.
And then, like, anxiety's in there a little bit because I have a little bit of work to do, and it's like I'm waiting for my phone to go off, so I might have to, like, pull over and do some work real quick. And then, like, hopefully not into the podcast, but we'll see, because we left a little early so I could arrange for that to happen. And like that kind of stuff. So, like, that's all happening, but I'm not like feeling one feeling that's all those. Those are all different things going into how I'm operating right now, mm-hmm. right? And so it's not ever so simple as that, but the whole point of it, all those are moving.
Well, that's why we use transformations, to break everything down into sinusoidal graphs that explain everything.
Yeah. And the whole point of it, you can either do it as a bar graph, as I wiggle my fingers, let the record show that I'm wiggling my fingers, or as those cool little polygonal, not the polygonal, polyhedral. No, polygonal.
Yeah, like where each point on the shape is a different thing.
Is it, okay. And the zero would be a point in the middle, and then tens would be everything.
If you draw them either way, you can that one specifically can be described by mathematics in a really cool way. But we're talking about depression, right? Where,
and so...
Amy, wait, hold on. Stop right there. Yes. Does anything that we're saying make any fucking sense, Amy?
Sort of. I come in and out because you keep using fancy words.
Like what?
Like tic-tagonal and fucking physics. Also, I have my phone.
All right. So.
So anyway.
Depression.
So my whole point is
listening to this podcast.
Depression is not just being sad. Depression is usually described, at least the people I've encountered with like actual depression, struggling with it, not just being a bit bummed or anxious, but like actual depression, as it is where it's debilitating, is a complete absence of things where you just feel like nothing. You don't feel motivated to do anything. You don't feel motivated to not do anything. You're just sitting there like a blob. And you kind of wish you could feel sad, because at least then you feel something. So if you think about that, that's the equivalent of collapsing that thing to just all zeros. You're just a point hanging out. Right.
Now, do you think that... Oh, yes. Okay. I'm going to wait.
And then the other side would be, if you're doing like manic, depressive, bipolar kind of thing, then the opposite would be where like everything's all the way up and you're just you're as happy as can be and you want to punch somebody and you want to cry and set something on fire and you're like, wow, it's too much going on.
So that's interesting, because do you think that
doesn't really have brake lights so much as he doesn't have brake lights at all.
We're not psychologists. We're not philosophers. I guess you're not either of those things.
You could just say your things, though.
It's lab coats.
You could just buy lab coats.
We're just people talking in a car. You know that. You've been listening to 100-plus episodes
of this
show.
I don't think anyone has any illusions to the contrary. Okay. Yeah.
So I wonder if the inertia factor plays into the... predisposition to... be depressed, to have depressive episodes. So if your inertia is far too low, then you will probably be what's called manic depressive, because you're feeling so many things all the time and there's nothing that's pulling you back to that equilibrium, that like there's nothing that's stopping you on that line that is your equilibrium. It's like it's like all constant overcorrection, like you do in Mario Kart when you're playing a character you never played before,
or me driving when I'm not paying any attention.
Yeah, exactly, that
when
one
using my thumb and index finger.
Sure, yeah, or knee maybe, or nothing. Oh god. No, but the nothing is exactly the opposite. Good segue. Because if your inertia is incredibly high, everything feels like nothing. Not everything feels like nothing, but nothing is everything. Because you never are moving away from the certain spot you're at, and it takes so much for you to feel anything.
Right. I would suggest that I agree with that part. The manic depressive, like the manic side of it, I think is not necessarily low inertia, so much as high inertia with some other force that randomly just cranks up the force vector on it.
So you're thinking that low inertia is like a positive mental health thing.
I think low inertia would be equivalent of emotionally sensitive people who fly off the handle because they saw a butterfly.
Okay, so I guess I'm interpreting that differently. Okay.
Whereas a lot of the manic people that, at least people I've met and have interacted with, or have read about at least, the manic people aren't necessarily manic from a stimulus. They're just manic. And there's something that got them to there, and they'll be manic until they're not anymore. And it's not necessarily because they saw a dead fly or something.
Sure.
It's that they're just powering through.
Okay, so
then eventually
no
it switches. So it's almost like
I was thinking that the stimuli was something that caused the manic, and then your ability to think about your emotional state is what stopped you from being manic.
And that may be true for some people, but as far as I know, true manic depression is not something that's easily you can't like logic it away or think about it like that, because your whole biochemistry is shifting as you go back and forth.
Okay,
like,
so yeah, it's not even possible.
It might be possible, but it's extremely difficult, and you're thoroughly unmotivated to do so because of the mental, emotional state that you're in.
Okay, so in our paradigm, in our very quickly thought up, very apparently deep paradigm
conversation,
a low emotional inertia is generally stimulated with mental health issues.
Low or high?
Low meaning it's hard to move.
That'd be high inertia, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess. Sorry. You're right. I've been using it wrong during the podcast. I'm sorry.
No, I think you've been using it right till then.
Okay. Well, basically, if you're not constantly changing, you have high inertia, right?
Is that what you're saying? That means you are. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so high inertia is associated in your mind in the paradigm with more mental health issues.
I'm not, or predisposition, I guess. Maybe? I think the middle ground is where you want to be. Because if you have really low inertia, then you're going to start going into just apoplectic fits because you saw a bush that looked like a frowny face. And you're going to go, you're just sad as can be until somebody shows you a picture of a dog. And then you're excited again.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sad that you weren't looking at a dog anymore because they should take it away. Like, that's the, like, no that's like, inertia
that's like
at all.
Literally a child.
Yeah.
Who's a baby, right? Who... You show a picture
I'm not sure
of
what
a dog,
the speller's doing,
and they're happy.
I think he's mad. I want to see.
Then you take away their candy cane, and they're sad. And like you just basically.
And you hit it back, and they're amazed again.
Yeah, and they don't understand. Okay. Or like the peekaboo thing, where you're like, "Oh, your mom's here. Oh my God, your mom has disappeared, and now you're alone." Like
those lack of object permanence. Yeah. So inertia, so little inertia that they don't even feel object permanence.
And then the high inertia is like something that stops you from feeling anything except for when the stimuli is so overpowering that you get shoved into an emotion you weren't ready for.
Yeah. And I think it's inertia is part of it, but you might also think of it as a gravity force too, because you may not necessarily then stay super happy if you're that depressed because you had a
It's like someone put a rocket booster on you and then took the rocket away.
Yeah.
And then you just get pulled straight back down.
So maybe it's less inertia and more gravitational force.
Yeah, I guess. We're coming up with these on the fly, so we can define
it whatever way we want to. It's probably more of an acceleration than it is a state.
Well, that's the acceleration is the coefficient I was talking about which is
I think at what rate
are you changing your thing? So, I think I'm more on the borderline bad low inertia.
The two biggest assholes that were driving around are directly in front of me.
Hey, now you can exact your sweet vengeance. Swift vengeance? Sexy vengeance. I personally think I'm on the low to mental health low inertia side where if I didn't have object permanence, I would probably be in like an emotional wreck.
Well, I mean, to be fair, anyone without object permanence would be an emotional wreck.
Yeah, that would be very terrifying.
Blinking would just be a harsh world.
You're just like constantly doing one eye blinks so you can like. Where do you think you're at, Kendrick?
Me?
Yeah.
I think it's not a flat line. I think it varies.
The
inertia for each emotion.
Where's your equilibrium lie?
My equilibrium.
You could say right in the middle if that's what you want to say.
No, but
you
sit
on the fence like a little pole sitter.
My tolerance for like getting sad is higher, or like my inertia for sad things is higher than it is for happy for enraging things. I think I get
so your
angry
coefficient
faster.
For sadness is like different than your coefficient for anger.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess I would agree. That's and it's—I don't even know that it's a constant because, like, I'm quick to get.
We
mildly
never
frustrated.
Established it was a constant, just to be clear. Like,
yeah,
it's
and I think, and it flexes too. Like, I'm quick to get mildly frustrated with things, but I'm really, really slow to get angry enough to do anything. Like, lash out at somebody.
Yeah,
it takes a long time for me to get there, but I'll be like, I go from zero to fuck you real fast, and then from fuck you to I will actually hit you over. It doesn't really happen. Like, it takes a lot, and then for happiness, the same way. Like, it's not. It takes. It's actually the opposite. It doesn't. Slightly happy doesn't happen very often, but when I'm happy, I'm usually quite happy. But then there's a high drag on it, so it goes back down again, right? So it's, I don't know how to articulate that stuff. Probably with more math. And then sad for me is usually an inverse rhomboid, so it's not even right. It's a like a bell curve thing. I think somebody just smashed their car into somebody. Maybe.
Yeah. Kind of looks like it.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. If you're gonna go, like. Oh, wait. Okay.
We're just getting the hell out of here because I didn't see shit. I just saw some smoke
come
up. Yeah, someone fucked their car up real good by deciding they didn't want to stop when the other car stopped. Don't text and drive, kids. Teenage suicide, don't do it.
My car was pretty fucked up. She should probably get out of it. I don't want to be in a car that's smoking. Like, I guess that's my fear. So, we just witnessed an accident. Totally sit-socked us.
We didn't really witness it. We just kind of saw the effects
of it. You didn't
see,
like, the glass explode out?
No. I mean, I saw a car come to a stop, and I saw some smoke come up. That's all I saw. I was watching the car in front of me, so I didn't hit somebody.
Okay, good idea.
So, from a legal standpoint...
What I saw was, like, everybody stopped, and then, like, a bunch of stuff, like, shattered outwards.
Yeah.
And... It was, yeah.
From a legal standpoint, I didn't get enough of a clear view to witness anything. I just saw the after effects, so.
That's why we have, like, you know, forensic criminologists.
I'm just saying, otherwise we're leaving the scene of a crime that we witnessed, and we didn't do that.
Wink, wink.
No, I didn't. I was literally watching the car in front of me.
Wink, wink.
So, wink. You might have, wink. But that's, you know.
I can't get out of this car.
Now I'm an accessory. Fuck.
Fucking goddamn.
Do you want to go back and report it?
No.
Okay. There's, I imagine, like, the person directly behind them probably saw a better view.
And I really, this isn't Seinfeld. We're not going to get in trouble.
Well, on I don't want to get those phone calls. Like, the last time we witnessed a fucking accident, they kept calling me for like 18 months.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'm like, fuck you guys. Leave me alone. Anyway, so
That's a different podcast. Yeah, we're talking about one. How you, like, get annoyed by fucking.
Anywho,
so you know, I'm sure everybody and their mom who's going to listen to this episode is going to have something to say about our silly emotional paradigm.
Stupid emotional. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it's not done. I think we need to, you know, work it a little more. But I think it probably does a lot to explain people's, you know, some people are just quick to get sad. Some people are quick to get angry. Some people are quick to get happy.
And those people might also simultaneously be the same person who's slow to get sad.
Yeah. It could overlap. And then you have some people who just seem to be happy more. And it just seems like for them, maybe it's the small things. They have what would be considered a low happiness inertia, where they just, oh, nice. Look at the way those red and yellow flags sit there. That's pretty. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Or, man, that's such a neat blue.
Oh, you
gradient.
Were using that as an example. Okay, gotcha.
Example. Yeah. What are you doing?
They're making a Mini Cooper.
They're Mini Coopering, I guess. I mean, you might want to accelerate. I'm going 40.
She's turning, I think.
It's a 45, so you may want. Okay, that's fine. Signals are for other people.
Well, she's in a Mini Cooper, so if she gets into an accident, she's basically dead, and she was old enough that she's probably dead.
So you didn't get my joke.
Signals are for other people?
Yeah. They are. So other people can see what you're doing. Get it?
But that means you don't
use
them.
But also only other people use them. So that was like a pun. It was a, never mind. You know what? Fuck
it. No, I got it. What am I fucking doing? It was really fucking dumb.
God damn it.
Amy, where do you think you're at? Like, with different emotions?
High inertia for...
So it's hard to. It's hard to move when stimuli hits you for.
Yeah, I had to look up what inertia meant.
Oh.
But now I get it.
Yeah.
Inert, I'm higher for, like, irritation/frustration. So once I'm there, it's harder to get out. And then...
How about getting to there? Is it easy for you to get to there?
Yeah, it's easy. That's the problem. It's easy for me to get there, hard to get out. And then for, like, to be super happy. Like, I can be, like, mildly amused by things pretty quickly. And then fall out of it pretty quickly. So I guess that's lower inertia there. And then for, like, super happy... That takes a lot longer to get there, so it's a higher.
It's like a bell curve thing.
Yeah.
What about like sadness? Like, do you get sad easily?
It depends.
Okay.
You know, there's even further factors into it, right? Because then you have like, what kinds of things are you more sensitive to as far as that?
It's a whole other issue.
Fuck. Oh Jesus, what are we doing?
You want to
drive like a sack of shit, you piece of garbage human being?
Fucktards on the road right now.
Could you all just curl up in each other's
assholes
and die?
That guy was giving the other guy too, the stink eye too.
And I was going to give him the stink eye. It's a doubled stink eye situation. You're
going to cut you off.
Can we all just go ahead and curl up in each other's assholes and die?
Each other's assholes?
Yeah. Just release some confusing thing for the forensics people later. That was uncanny. I didn't like it.
Okay. Amy, do you know what that was?
Porky the Pig?
Yeah.
Oh, that was from well before your time.
That was not Porky the Pig. That's Woody Woodpecker.
Both of them were before her time, though. So I think that was pretty clear from the fact that she was wrong that it was before her time.
No,
so.
But you didn't know what it was either, okay? You were like, I'm going to act like I know what it is.
Or was I layering jokes on jokes?
I don't know. I don't understand jokes.
No, it's just a bad idea.
Everything is always on fire. Everything's on a slow state of being on fire. At any given moment, anything could be on fire.
We are all oxidizing slowly, so yeah, I mean, kind of.
This was like, some people don't believe in spontaneous combustion. Did you know that?
I guess I should preface that with,
do you believe in spontaneous combustion? It's possible.
Spontaneous human combustion without any external ignition source is difficult to believe in that it's kind of hard to prove.
What's your emotional inertia for seeing a person set on fire by themselves?
7.
So
out of a possible Jeff Goldblum,
life finds a way.
Yeah.
He says that in the freaking new one.
Yeah,
I'm so excited for that movie.
That's like the only reason anyone's going to go see that movie is because that line's in it.
Jeff Goldblum's is in it?
Jeff Goldblum's is in it, yeah. So what does Jeff Goldblum want?
I can't even remember it. I wish I could do it. I wish I could do it verbatim.
I want my money.
Mostly Jeff Goldblum wants his money back. And I want little fairies to count it out to me.
Pixies to count it out. And I want gnomes to spread confetti all around, and I want pixies to braid my hair as I count it, but mostly I want my money back.
There's the guy before him who's like, he wants all this hemp stuff, and he's just like, I just want to smoke just a little bit of this hemp,
just a little bit,
Speaking on a tangent, I went to that car wash the other day, and it drags your car through, and I've never been in one of those before.
Those are creepy as fuck, aren't they?
And I was like, well, I better know what I'm doing and pay attention in the car wash, because I might fuck something up. Like,
yep.
I might be at the end and then, like, not move far enough, and someone's going to rear-end me. I don't know. That's
how you die.
I want to know the engineer who came up with that. If he was like, yeah, no, people will be okay. They'll be all right. They'll get it. And then, like, later on, they're like, wow, he was wrong.
He was wrong.
Or how many accidents happen in those things?
I wonder.
Yeah. Well, if you know any statistics about,
I feel like,
car wash accidents, or you know the quote from the movie we're talking about, Run, Ronnie, Run, or you have an idea, you know, as far as this emotional spectrum paradigm goes, leave a comment.
Like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Hit that subscribe button.
Highball, give us money, even though we don't have highballs.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's very distinct. You know, when I say highball, give us money, you know it was recorded in the morning.
Yeah.
All right, well.
I guess we can stop it at this light. I kind of want to punch it through that little gap there, but I didn't trust that Exploder.
All right. Well, you know, they don't need to hear this. See you guys. See you next time.
Dasvidaniya.
Bye.